radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is PK Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Welcome in, everybody. Predneck Nation Radio is on the air. That's right. It's another Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. Game 6 edition, backs against the wall. What will the Nashville Predators do tonight in Dallas as they have fallen behind in this first round best of 7 series? 3-2 by taking a 5-3 loss on home ice. In Game 5, the Nashville Predators had it all set up, had the series tied at 2 apiece after coming back from Dallas, and it was looking good at the start. Until it wasn't. And now the Nashville Predators, for the first time, face elimination. Will we finally see a desperate Nashville Predators hockey team? I don't think we have seen a desperate Nashville Predators hockey team yet this entire series. The Renegades of Puck are here to discuss it all morning long. Mastrodamus in the second period, Felder in the third period, and you know me. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier. Thank you so much for tuning in to Nashville Sports Radio. You can always find us on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can give us a like on Facebook. You can also find us in an on-demand world. If you are very busy traveling over your Easter weekend and you couldn't get up early to listen to the live show this morning, SoundCloud, iTunes, always available for you. Just search Predneck Nation, search Nashville Sports Radio, and we will have everything covered and over the air. We appreciate each and every one of you for listening live 560 AM and 95.9 FM in and around Middle Tennessee. Also 107.9 FM if you're headed through Smyrna into Murfreesboro and beyond 24 and in through Clarksville and up into Drakesboro, Kentucky, originating on 103.9 FM. Always available for free on the WNSR app and streaming for free as well, WNSR.com. Thank you so much for jumping in and joining us. I got to tell you, I'm not ready for this to be the last show of the season. So what I need to see from the Nashville Predators is a desperate hockey team tonight that forces a Game 7 here in Smashville on Wednesday night. What could set up to be one of the most fun and impressive sports weeks in Nashville sports history. The Preds could force a Game 7 on a Wednesday night. The NFL draft would be here the next couple of days, and then the second round would open up. It would be a hell of a 4 or 5 days here in the Music City when it comes to all things related to sports and big-time events. How in the world did we get here to Game 6 with the Preds facing their backs against the wall? Well, Dallas beat the Preds in Game 1, 3-2, and then Nashville was able to come back and get an overtime victory in Game 2, 2-1, and then the Preds score a 3-2 victory. They hang on to win one there, 5-1, then Dallas over the Nashville Predators to tie the series, and Game 5 at Bridgestone Arena, where the Nashville Predators had success under Peter Laviolette in Game 5s, well, the Nashville Predators fall 5-3 to the Dallas Stars. No surprise, the power play has been a complete disappointment for the Predators, 0-11 in the series, only 17 shots on goal. Why are they so bad on the power play? Dallas power plays 4-21 in the series. They've generated 38 shots on goal, and it's been a difference maker. When it comes to hits, out hitting the Nashville Predators 128-18, also blocking more shots 99-83. The only place you can find that the Predators are actually outplaying the Dallas Stars statistically is in shots on goal, out shooting Dallas over five games 170-149. These two teams know each other incredibly well. That was the 10th meeting of the season when you count the regular season and the playoffs, and now the season series is tied at 5 apiece. Game 6 tonight in Dallas. Will we see Game 7 on Wednesday night here in Smashville? The Nashville Predators so far just have no answer for the first line of the Dallas Stars since Coach Jim Montgomery has reassembled that unit early in the series. They were divided up and only deployed in certain offensive and power play situations, but in the last couple of games, they've been put together and they are just completely dominating the Nashville Predators, and it makes no sense because the Nashville Predators have seen plenty of other teams that are heavy loaded on one line, and they have been able to handle those. Just look back to last year's first round series against the Colorado Avalanche. The Colorado Avalanche had one of the most impressive first lines in all of hockey, and the Nashville Predators, while it wasn't easy, were able to defeat the Colorado Avalanche. Now, it's going to be incredibly difficult, but it is certainly not impossible. Backs against the wall, maybe it will finally unleash this desperate Predators hockey team that we've been waiting to see, and maybe they will find a way to force a Game 7, and things can happen from there. It's not going to be the only Game 7 when we're talking about the first round. We've already got one scheduled between Toronto and Boston, and for those of you who made it all the way through the San Jose-Vegas Game 6 last night, well, it was a shorthanded goal in double overtime that forces a Game 7 there. Carolina-Washington, the only other series still alive there at Game 6. That's going to be tonight as well. So two Game 6s tonight, and we'll have two Game 7s on the schedule. There's an opportunity to end up with four Game 7s in this first round. And after two of the series ended up being sweeps, you didn't necessarily think that. So the Islanders have just been sitting back and watching hockey and waiting to see who wins between Toronto and Boston. The Columbus Blue Jackets doing the same with Carolina and Washington. Now St. Louis sitting back home. And I doubt that they're cheering for anybody, but they certainly want the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars to continue playing a lot of difficult hockey before they await their opponent in the second round. And the Colorado Avalanche are waiting for the winner of San Jose and Vegas. It has certainly not been an easy to predict tournament. Most of you have already thrown your brackets in the garbage, and it has been an uprising by the wild card teams. It has not been a great year to be a division winner in the NHL. The Preds and the Washington Capitals, the only two of those still alive. The Washington Capitals, the only one of those with a series lead going in to Game 6. Quickly, let's take a look at the stats through the series. Jamie Benn leading the Stars. He's got 6 total points, 5 assists. Sagan also 5 points. Radulov also 5 points. Klingberg's got 5 points. And the Dallas Stars top players are performing at a high level here through 5 games in the playoffs. Ben Bishop, 3-2. He has stopped 159 out of 170 shots that he has faced in this series. That's a goals against a 2.18, a save percentage of 9.35 for the Nashville Predators. Roman Josi leads the team in scoring through 5. He's got 2-2. That's good for 4 points. Ellis has 3 assists. Rocco Grimaldi leads the Predators with goals with 3, and still have to look all the way down to the very bottom of the list to find Victor Arvidsson. No stats of note to even recognize. He's a -1 through 5 games with 1 penalty, and he's averaging 19 minutes and 12 seconds for the Nashville Predators season-leading goal scorer and now record holder for single-season franchise goals. It's simply unacceptable for him to not be putting up any production at all of any kind here in the NHL playoffs. It is just not something the Nashville Predators can have. It's going to be an easy diagnosis if this series ends tonight of why the Nashville Predators failed to defeat the Dallas Stars, and Victor Arvidsson and the rest of the first line's lack of production. That will be one of the key storylines that we discuss. Pekka Rinne in net, 2-3 in the series. He has stopped 113 out of 128 shots. The numbers just look atrocious. 3.55 goals against average and 8.83 save percentage. Juuse Saros got in 1 game in relief, and I've got to tell you, the defense just hanging Pekka Rinne out to dry. game after game in this series, playing soft in their own zone, refusing to come and back check, and just simply taking too many penalties. It is not acceptable from an NHL hockey club to continue doing this night after night. Inconsistencies during the season aside, now it has happened multiple playoff games in a row. Going back, we do need to look at Game 5, and we're going to figure out exactly how we ended up in this situation for Game 6. Lines, a jumble. I guess that open hockey situation towards the end of Game 4 showed Peter Laviolette that he needed to use some new combinations for some new chemistry. Keeping Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson together with the argument that they know each other so well that they were due for a breakout. Well, the second line, Yarncroke, Sissons, and Granlund, Watson, Bonino, and Smith, Boyle back in the lineup. He was listed as week to week on Monday, an appendectomy, back in the lineup already. Brian Boyle out there on the fourth line. Turris and Grimaldi make up the rest of your fourth line. Josi and Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, Ham, Hughes, Fabro, Pekka-Rinne is in net. 45 seconds in, the building absolutely buzzing at Bridgestone Arena. A Saturday afternoon, Game 5, national television. Series tied at 2 apiece, and Craig Smith's got the first shot of the game. It is stopped by Bishop. The Preds have some traffic in front. 1:23 into the game. Pekka-Rinne makes his first save of the game on Foxa. 2:45. Grimaldi makes a spin and a backhand shot. It is stopped by Bishop, but Rocco Grimaldi out there again making things happen and making an impact as soon as he hits the ice. 3:15 into the first period. Forsberg's going to the box. He's got a penalty. 2 minutes for slashing. Pekka-Rinne comes up with a big save on Sagan. Three shots on goal for the Dallas Stars, but the Nashville Predators penalty kill is able to hold. 6:25. Rocco Grimaldi, his third goal of the playoffs, gives the Preds a 1-0 lead in Game 5. The crowd absolutely erupts. Josi carried the puck through the neutral zone. Excellent rush. Makes the pass over to Grimaldi, who just keeps fighting and fighting through the D. Gets the loose puck. Outworks everyone and puts the puck into the net, beating Bishop. The Preds with a 1-0 lead, and the building is just absolutely electric at this point in time. 7:11 of the first period. Sissons and Granlund turn the puck over in the D zone. Pekka-Rinne comes up with three consecutive saves right on the doorstep on Radulov and Ben. And Pekka-Rinne just absolutely bails out Colton Sissons and Granlund on this situation. 8:49, Bishop has to come up with a big save on Forsberg. 10:01, Pekka-Rinne, a save on Ben on the doorstep. Preds having success early in this game. Good zone exits, moving the puck down the ice clean and crisp. Hard forecheck, and they are playing a good home hockey game. 10:37, Grimaldi throws the puck on net from a sharp angle. Kyle Turris showing up on the doorstep with the jam. At 13:08, though, the Dallas Stars are evening this game up. Dickinson, his first of the series, and you may remember Dickinson at Bridgestone Arena in Game 1 getting absolutely leveled by Brian Boyle. Well, receipt delivered to the Nashville Predators in Game 5 as Dickinson has his first of the series. Hintz goes around behind the net. He's got some speed. He makes a pass to Dickinson in front, who was working hard to get his position, and he outplays the Nashville Predators defense and picks up a goal, tying this one up. In 1957, P.K. Subban, he looks like he's just trying to kill it off, but it's a lazy turnover in the defensive zone. Radulov takes the puck behind the net, makes a quick pass to Sagan, and on the doorstep, Pekka-Rinne has to come up with a big save and a rebound as the period expires. That is a bad omen going into intermission. The Nashville Predators just with simply a lazy play right here. The Dallas Stars outshooting Nashville 14-9. We have a tie game in Game 5, and it seemed like the Preds had a really good organized plan the first 10 minutes of this game, but the Dallas Stars made adjustments or just started to pick it apart, because by the end of the first period, it really felt like the Dallas Stars very much had the momentum in this game. 19 seconds into the second period, Radulov shot attempt. It is deflected by P.K. Subban on a nice stick check upon release right there near the top of the crease, but then before the end of that shift, Radulov would end up scoring. It's his third of the series, and it's another turnover in the D zone. After the turnover, Sagan to Radulov to the back of the net, and this first line came out to start the first period and just absolutely dominated for 40 seconds. Three scoring chances and a goal in 40 seconds, giving Dallas a 2-1 lead at Bridgestone Arena. 2:29 into the second period, Grimaldi forces a turnover. That's the Preds' first pressure of the period. There's a response from the fourth line. 6:35, Ham Hughes, a huge open ice hit on Zuccarello. He was looking to change the energy, and it did for just a moment. It was the first sign of emotion from the Predators, and it was getting the Dallas Stars running around a little bit, trying to chase Ham Hughes. This was good, but unfortunately, the momentum was killed immediately by Alexander Radulov at 7:41. Ellis is coming back into the zone to play a puck down around the goal line, and he is so casual that Jamie Benn just comes in and pickpockets him with a big shoulder check, pushing him right off the puck. He takes the puck away. He makes a pass to Radulov in front, and you caught Ellis, Yossi, and Bonino all being casual on this play. Ryan Ellis, the worst of all, but absolutely no support from Roman Yossi, and back checking in the slot was a complete joke on this play. This never should have happened. These are high caliber NHL players, and to get just shoved off the puck that easily because you're not going hard, well, it's what you deserve when you go in that casual. Radulov's fourth, the Stars third. They have a 3-1 lead. Ryan Johansson was ready for war, he says. Well, at least he goes out there with some jam, and now at 9:18, he gets his first of the series. That's right, his first. Forsberg receives from Johansson, then returns it. Johansson goes top shelf far corner, and he beats Bishop. Nashville cuts the Dallas lead now 3-2 in favor of the Stars. 10:27, Sissons gets a shot off the rush. 11:52, Johansson and Foxa go to the box 2 minutes each, and we've got a 4-on-4. After the 4-on-4 expires at 15:54, Sagan is putting Dallas back up by 2, now a 4-2 lead with speed untouched all the way to the net. Sagan, an easy finish. The Preds have nothing. No passion, no emotion, no response. The first line of the Dallas Stars are simply doing whatever they want, whenever they want it, all over the Nashville Predators' defensive zone. 16:21, Matthias Ekholm's going to the box 2 minutes for roughing. It was after the whistle. It was an easy call. I understand the Dallas Stars player took an extra whack at Pekka-Rinne, and Ekholm was able to move him from the crease all the way to the back wall and be a little physical, and no penalty was called. It was just 10, 15 seconds later, when he's still taking shots at the guy, that the referee comes in and easily puts him into the box. Predators are able to kill this thing off. PK Subban would get one shot on net right at the end of the period, but Ben Bishop is able to stop that easily. And Bridgestone Arena is in shock as the Predators are down 4-2 and being outshot 22-17 on home ice. A statement period from the Dallas Stars from the start to the finish. Third period at Bridgestone Arena, Game 5. Dickinson comes out 1:57 into the third, and he scores his second of the game. Watson turns the puck over in the D zone this time as if he was setting up Dickinson for a rush and a goal. It was just a perfect setup by Austin Watson, and it was also one of the most awful turnovers you could find. Dallas now leads 5-2. 2:25 into the third period. Kyle Turris gets his first of the season. If there was ever going to be a miracle three-goal comeback on home ice in the third period in a playoff game, well, Kyle Turris surely would be a sign, and he scores a goal off the sharp angle. It hits the defenseman's skate. Boyle was crashing the net hard. Good job right there. But clearly, for Kyle Turris, the secret to scoring a goal is to not try to score a goal at this point. He's been struggling so hard. Turris is first of the series. Preds now down 5-3. And trying to generate a little bit of momentum. 2:51, Forsberg cuts hard to the net, and I thought for sure he was going to tuck this one in and the roof was just going to come off, but he couldn't get it to go. 3:39, Haskin goes to the box 2 minutes for hooking. Sissons had some great jam in front. He almost puts one in and earns the Nashville Predators a power play while he's getting a couple of good scoring chances. Ekholm hits the post again. Such a good look. I thought for sure this one was going to be the one that cut the lead and gets the Preds back in this game, but again, it would not go. Pekka-Rinne comes up with one more huge save on Ben. Bishop comes up with one more big save on Arvidsson, plus a rebound attempt. And the buzzer goes, and the building, other than the few Stars fans that made their way up here to Nashville, is largely silent. The Dallas Stars beat the Nashville Predators 5-3 in Game 5. The Nashville Predators do outshoot Dallas 33-26, but it matters not, as the Dallas Stars have now won 2 out of 3 games here in Nashville, and they have taken home ice advantage back yet again and lead the first round best of 7 series 3-2. This Nashville Predators team has to respond with desperation. I don't think it's about going out there and just having some fun and playing hockey. That's the kind of stuff you talk about when it's October, when it's November, when you're struggling a little bit. I think it's time to get a little more serious than that. I think it's time for a little bit more desperation. And tonight in Game 6, it is incredibly simple, Nashville Predators. You go out there and you win a hockey game, or you pack your bags and you get the hell out of town until October. And that is all that needs to be said. There are no more stats. There is no more anything other than going out there, winning Game 6, forcing a Game 7, and making it happen from there. It doesn't end tonight, does it? That's on the Nashville Predators. Mastrodamus is coming up in the second period. Prednik Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Prednik Nation Radio.
Yeah, welcome back in, Prednik Nation Radio. Remember, you can always check us out, Twitter at Prednik Nation. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sarnay. Ryan Ellis welcoming you to Smashville, or did Jamie Benn welcome him to Smashville? One of the softest, most casual defensive plays I've seen of the entire season. And that is one of the reasons the Nashville Predators find themselves down 3-2 in this best of 7 first round series in the Western Conference playoffs. It was simply unacceptable, and his partners and teammates did not help him any on that play, nor at many other times in the defensive zone. So many turnovers in this game. It was one of the more atrocious efforts I've seen overall over the course of 60 minutes of hockey this entire season. The Nashville Predators have shown they can be inconsistent at times, absolutely, but this was a whole nother level of ineffective, poor, lazy, casual hockey. It seemed like it was a regular season game in early October as opposed to Game 5 of a tied series in the first round of the playoffs. Here to talk to me about all of that, he is, of course, the starting goaltender of Prednik Nation, and he is on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Always up for that interaction, he is Mastrodamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, our farewell episode. How are you, sir?
They have to prove you wrong. There's no doubt about that. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This is a team with their back against the wall that's getting it handed to them over the course of a 5-game series. And if not for their goaltender bailing them out in one of these games and a good bounce in an overtime, the series would have already been over. We brought back the show with Ryan Ellis because I'm out of bumps with positive voices. I don't have one with Rocco Grimaldi, or else that's the one I'd just be playing over and over again. But Ellis brings us back from break. Mastrodamus, I talked about casual, I talked about soft. Ryan Ellis is way too smart, way too good of a hockey player, and his teammates are way better than the effort we saw on the goal where Ben just moves him off the puck, takes it away, and puts it to the front of the net.
Well, it's pretty much a microcosm of the series, that play right there, is that Dallas is playing faster than the Predators, playing stronger than the Predators, and just simply outplaying them for basically 90% of this entire series. So the Preds are fortunate to even be sitting here playing a game six, quite frankly. The overtime bounce went their way. Pecorine stealing and Ben Bishop and giving them a game in Game 3. Aside from that, the Preds have no business even being in this position, so they could find themselves, you know, just thanking their stars that they're actually in the series right now. But Ryan Ellis, embarrassing. If it wasn't for Dougie Hamilton later on that same day having an even softer behind his own net, Ryan Ellis, just utter buffoonery. I mean, honestly, I mean, what are you doing on that play right there? You see him coming and just kind of slowly go into him, and then Jamie Benn's like, oh, it's Ryan Ellis, I'm just going to go ahead and shove him aside like he's a little kid. And that's essentially what happened. And then, of course, the stuttering pass with two Predators just staring at the puck, not covering anybody who's coming to the net. Radulov just skates in unmarked to one-time that shot. I mean, that's just embarrassing to watch. Professional hockey team be that soft on the puck in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And just discussing, you know, defensive units and how they match up. When you say Heiskanen, Klingberg, Lindell, Lovejoy as a top four versus Ekholm, Ellis, Josi, and Subban, well, if they were able to just take those rosters, print it out, and throw them down at center ice and declare a winner, the Nashville Predators clearly would be that every single time. But that top four for the Nashville Predators, the, quote, best defensive core in the entire NHL, unquote, which I will not ever call them that again.
If you're going to claim to have this fantastic blue line, start playing like you're the best defensive grouping out there in the NHL. They certainly haven't proven anything like that in this series. Soft on the puck, not being physical in front of your own net. Dallas skating in front of the slot and getting these high danger chances at will, basically. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to watch how the Predators can't get anywhere near Ben Bishop and make him move side to side and get him moving, since he's a statue back there, essentially, most of the time. Look, he's a Vezina finalist, but that's mostly because of the structure they play in Dallas, because Khudobin has similar stats to him. So they just haven't challenged him enough offensively and defensively. They've just let Dallas do whatever they want in front of their own net within about 10 to 15 feet outside of Pecorine. They're just doing it every single game consistently. So that's why I have absolutely zero confidence that anything's going to change so far.
People who were watching the national broadcast were getting quite irritated about the number of minutes dedicated to discussing the Dallas Stars' first line and their coaching staff and the decision to put Ben, Sagan, and Radulov all back together after not starting together in the series. But Mostradamus, what else were they supposed to talk about? The Nashville Predators literally gave them no storyline, no effort, no passion, no fight back to discuss throughout the game. And Ben, Radulov, and Sagan have completely taken over this series and are doing whatever they want. It was almost globetrotter-like at times, the way they were just weaving themselves around the net and just simply putting the pucks in at will.
Jim Montgomery, he's done a fantastic job changing the culture of the Dallas Stars, who for years has been up and down the ice. We're just going to simply outscore you and play a bunch of 5-4, 6-4 type games, and we'll take our luck with our goaltending. But they've completely changed their structure. And, of course, when you have a line like that, Jim Montgomery, again, what else are you supposed to do? Oh, they're scoring at will. Okay, well, I'm going to keep that line together until you can prove you can stop us. The Predators had home ice advantage and could dictate the matchups of who they want out there against that line. That sure as hell didn't help. So what do you think is going to happen in Dallas? I mean, it's mind-boggling, again, like I said, how this team can just let this first line basically dominate them. And then wonder, look around like, oh, well, it's going to be a good challenge out there. We'll go out to Dallas. It's like, again, October-like quotes. It's I just banging my head against the wall to figure out what this team is talking about with these cliches that, oh, we're a confident group. We feel pretty good about going to Dallas, and we have playoff experience. Really? You sure as hell haven't proved it. I mean, it's, again, you're supposed to be the experienced team in the playoffs. And yet you're getting pushed around by Dallas and making these cliche quotes that we're confident. You are not playing confident. Dallas, when they're scoring those goals, particularly the Radulov goal, second one, Jamie Benn's just sitting there nodding his head like, yep, yeah, we're good. We got this because we know what we're doing out here. Preds have not proven a thing so far in the first five games.
Mostradamus goaltending. Bishop, of course, gave the Nashville Predators back a game. You can say it was 50-50, Bishop giving one away and Rene taking one for the Nashville Predators. But since then, Ben Bishop, well, he hasn't been tested nearly enough, so it's hard to evaluate just how good he has really been in the series. But we all know that people will look back at this series and they will look at the numbers and they will certainly say, well, Ben Bishop must have played pretty good. And they'll say, wow, Pekka-Rinne, he must have been god-awful early in this game. Mostradamus Pekka-Rinne was simply outstanding. That three-save sequence on Ben and Radulov before the floodgates opened up in the second period, that's what kept the Nashville Predators in this one. It was an excellent plan for 10 minutes, and then it all seemed to go away. Either Dallas made the adjustments or they just picked the Preds' plan apart. But Pekka-Rinne did look really good early on in this game, and then he got hung out to dry yet again. I know that people are going to look at the numbers and say, well, Pekka-Rinne, he's awful. These numbers are terrible. But again, and I'm so sick of even having to make the point, bring it up, or have the discussion, this game is not all on Pekka-Rinne's fault. So give me a quick breakdown. Bishop, Rinne, game five.
Yeah, I mean, Pekka-Rinne, again, you look at just the shots on goal and the goals allowed, you're like, oh, man, they keep, and of course, they're going to post that at the beginning of every game, the goaltending matchup. Well, Rinne's 2-3. his goals against is close to four. His save percentage is under 90, so he's having an awful series. Like, anybody who's watching these games and thinks that Pecorine is the problem, turn your mic in, because you have no earth idea what you're talking about out there, because the Preds have given Dallas Stars every opportunity to win this series so far, and again, very fortunate that it's not. Pecorine has done everything. He's had highlight reel save after highlight reel save in this series, and it's not enough. We've said it all year that they've wasted performances by both him and UC Saros, and it's precisely what they did in Game 5. Rene gave them every opportunity to win that game early on. They had no business taking a 1-0 lead. They had no business keeping that 1-0 lead as long as they did. And then, of course, Dallas took it over in the second period. It's really, for a guy who's, you know, doesn't have that many years left as a full-time goaltender, they're sure as heck basically letting him out there and just saying, yeah, you're not going to win a cup, buddy. Sorry. Shameful that they're playing that poorly in front of Pecorine, a guy that everybody to a T has basically said that he is the best guy on and off the ice, and they're playing this way in front of him. Ben Bishop, he just has to be back there and be a 6'6" goaltender and stay square to the puck, because the Preds aren't making a move side to side, and anytime they do, it's a goal. They actually get a chance. Rocco Grimaldi in front, out battles Miro Heiskanen for a change, and goes beats him glove side. Johansson's goal, all he has to do is, oh, he's close to the net. Bishop is in his butterfly. He just lifts it up over his shoulder. Goal. I mean, it's not that difficult to beat Ben Bishop, but you have to work hard enough to get in the areas to beat him. Game 3 was a fluke, yes. So you go in there and you shoot high on him, because that's what he does. He's a goaltender. He drops low. He has his glove low more often than not. So there's room to beat him up high. I think 10 of their 11 goals that they've scored have been up high on Ben Bishop. Do more of that, and you might have a chance. But so far, again, they haven't proven that they can do that.
Mostradamus, I hope that on Easter Sunday that the Preds had a chance to spend some time on the couch watching television and see what kind of effort the Boston Bruins put in going into a Game 6 with their backs against the wall and what they were able to accomplish. So, Mostradamus, if the Nashville Predators season is to continue beyond tonight, what do the Nashville Predators have to do going into Dallas to force a Game 7?
Show the same heart that Rocco Grimaldi has shown this entire series. And I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it all season. We've seen them put together 20 minutes of good hockey, 25 minutes of good hockey in this series, and that's pretty much it. Aside from that, they haven't shown anything. So I'd like to say prove me wrong, but so far all I've done is prove me right. So, I have zero confidence that this team is going to go into Dallas and actually put together a 60-minute effort, maybe more than 60 minutes, and show the same heart and desire that you should come playoff time. It's like they're complacent out there. All these cliches drive me absolutely nuts. It's not an October regular season game that you're going up to Calgary and say, oh, there'll be a good test there, a good team up there. This team has dominated you for 90% of the series. Go in there, win Game 6, and maybe, again, have an opportunity to win Game 7 on home ice on Wednesday, but you're going to have to show some heart, and I've seen none of it so far in this series. So that's what they need. They need heart and desire to get to those difficult areas, make life difficult for Ben Bishop, which they've only proven to do about 10% of this series. Do that, and you might have a shot. But if you don't have that desire and control the front of the net on both ends of the ice, you're going to go home early, and there's going to be some massive changes come next season. There's zero reason a team this talented can be pushed around and outplayed this easily. Peter Laviolette, this game right here is your job. You lose this game and you should not be around next season. Plain and simple.
Mostradamus, I sure hope to be talking to you on Wednesday, recapping Game 6 and previewing Game 7. I will just leave it at that for now, because that's not up to us, and that will only be determined by the team on the ice tonight, which Nashville Predators team decides to show up to one that can put together a full game and go out there and play hockey, or the one that's decided to show up for these last couple of games. On Twitter, you can find him at GreekGoalie35. He's got strong opinions, and I like that right here on this radio show. I will be talking to him at some point, no matter what, because of course he will still be the starting goaltender of Prednik Nation, and you'll still find him here on Prednik Nation Radio. It's just a matter of when we get to broadcast those, depending on if there are games going forward. Mostradamus, appreciate everything you've done, and just in case, fantastic season again, my friend.
Charlie, always a pleasure. Maybe we'll do it on Wednesday. If not, we'll talk again soon.
Mastrodamus right there. We got Felder coming up in the third period. I don't want this to be my last radio show of the season. All right, Nashville Predators, get the job done. Get back here. Allow us to cover and break down a Game 7 and give the fans something spectacular. A Game 7 on home ice at Bridgestone Arena with an opportunity to advance to the second round of the NHL playoffs and face off against the St. Louis Blues. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Thank you so much for jumping up and joining us here on Nashville Sports Radio. Felder's up next. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Matthias Ekholm of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Matthias Ekholm, he sounds like such a nice guy there on the radio. I do not know what in the world has gotten into Ekholm this series. I mean, five games played, two assists, minus one, 12 penalty minutes. It's just been a constant parade to the box. And even in this most recent one, when a defenseman's trying to do something good, sticking up for his goaltender after a player takes an extra whack, I mean, he just took it a little bit too far. It was such an easy call. And with the Dallas Stars knowing they're in Matthias Ekholm's head, no doubt, you just stand there and let him keep going because he's going to end up in the box. Here to talk about that and all things Game 5 and try to find a thread of something positive going into Game 6 tonight. The numbers aren't showing, but the Nashville Predators, hey, maybe they'll play better in that desperate underdog role. We all know 2 years ago that's where they were the whole time, and we sure saw a different team. I'm just trying to channel some positivity here as I welcome in the OG of hockey coverage on Nashville Sports Radio. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. Good morning, Brandon. Thank you for starting your week with us here on Nashville Sports Radio and Predneck Nation Radio.
Good morning, Charlie. I wouldn't want to start with anyone else today.
The numbers, Brandon, they're just awful. Game 5, we knew that the numbers going into Game 5, they were in the same exact situation. But you get a tied series, you get on home ice advantage is restored. It's a best of three. You've got national television. You've got a building that's just absolutely buzzing. Ryan Johansson says the team is ready for war, and they go out there and, well, we saw what happened. Soft coverage in the D zone, entirely too many turnovers, and the Predators' D core outplayed by the Dallas Stars' D core, and the Predators' forwards outplayed consistently by the Dallas Stars' forwards. Game 5, Dallas Stars had a plan, and they executed, and they won that game playing their way.
Yes, they had a plan. They had work ethic. They had desire. Johansson may have said that they're ready for war, but then I also heard Philip Forsberg before the game in a pregame interview said that they just want to go out there and have fun. And there's some times where I'm sure that was probably a directive from the locker room of let's loosen up, let's go out there and have fun and play our game. But there's sometimes that doesn't translate very well on TV, and I think that was one of the cases where I didn't want to hear about the professional players going out there to have fun. I wanted them to go out there and play like it was a must-win game and that they needed to dictate their terms and their pace and their ability, and that's not what happened. And you're right. The defense played better. The offense played better. It's just one of those games that when you get done with it, everybody is so perplexed that they're just throwing out any amount of reasons and possibilities and ways to change it. I mean, I've seen all these talks of we should start UC Saros in Game 6. Like, none of the last two games was on Peck Arena. It's completely been on the defense. When you go back and look at it, this series so far, the best defensive pairing has been Dan Hamnes and Dante Fabro. That's not anything against them, but that's not a good sign. And so, so far, the best line has been Rocco Grimaldi's. That's not anything against Rocco Grimaldi because he's a great player and fun one to watch, but that's not a good sign when your top line is not being able to generate scoring chances and cash in on them. I thought they did a better job of generating the scoring chances the other night, but they have not been able to solve it for some reason, and that's a big concern for Nashville going into Game 6.
And these two teams have played now 10 times, combining the regular season and the playoff series. The series is tied at 5 apiece between the two of them. They know each other incredibly well. And Brandon, when I look at the coaching staffs, what I see is Jim Montgomery has made adjustments that have completely taken the series away from the Nashville Predators, while Peter Laviolette has made some adjustments, and some of those are desperate, meaning line combinations and shaking up everything that's going on out there. But also, at times during the game, Peter Laviolette seems to make one adjustment and it works for a few shifts or half a period, and Jim Montgomery and the Dallas Stars just respond, come right back, and just pick it apart. So behind the benches in this series, the Dallas Stars are absolutely winning that battle as well.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting to watch this chess match, and, you know, suddenly the Predators will make a little different wrinkle where they don't dump the puck in as much, and they carry it over the line, and then boom, you get a goal from Rocco Grimaldi to start the night, and then Dallas makes that adjustment. They find ways to counter anything that you're trying to do, and it just seems like they're reacting faster. Now, here's the thing that we don't know. Is it that the coaching is reacting faster, or is it that the players are buying in faster? And that's what the real difference is. You could have all the right instructions on the bench, but the players just either A, don't get it, B, don't want to do it, or C, don't have the work ethic to execute it, then it's just there's nothing you can do as a coach other than continue to yell and scream till you're blue in the face so they finally do what you're asking to do. So that's one of the things that, you know, there's something going on here. Like, that's one of the things we all talked about after that game was something is up. And I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's a lack of work ethic or a team that has, you know, gotten used to having success and found themselves comfortable with where things are. Or I don't know if there's something going on inside that locker room where, as much as these guys have, you know, you love to build around a core group of players and they've been there and they've done this and they've got the experience. You know, we all know that as great of a general manager as David Poile is, he's not perfect. And it seems like by the end of this particular playoff series, we're going to come back to it and say, well, when we look back at this season, maybe David Poile should not have listened to all the players and kept the group entirely intact. But, you know, those are some good off-season discussions to have. But I know that after that Game 5, all the discussions are being had because of just the way that everything looked.
Well, if the series ends tonight, there will be significant discussions and more than likely changes coming, because you're absolutely right. The thought process was the players want to make one more go at it, and if they're one more go at it after a Game 7 exit on home ice in the second round last year is a Game 6 exit in the first round against a wild card team, well, then the players' idea clearly isn't working, and the general manager, who's a Hall of Famer, needs to take control back of his roster before the end of his career, because if he does want to win a Stanley Cup, and so does Pekka-Rinne. But Brandon, right now, if we were to say the series is over, it's such an easy dissection. This Nashville Predators team, 0-for-11 on the power play with only 17 shots on goal, soft defense, and your top offensive performers not performing at all. Kyle Turris has as many goals as Johansson, Forsberg, and he has one more goal than Arvidsson. And I'm only making a joke out of it to try to make myself laugh a little bit here before the end of this episode.
Yeah, and then Rocco Grimaldi has three times as many.
Oh, he has more goals than the whole first line. Oh, Brandon, you just now I'm not laughing anymore.
Yeah, sorry, but
it's all right. That's why you're here, to bring me the hard truth. Oh man, oh, it's bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Facts are facts. Yeah, you know that you're right. It's an easy dissection. You know, I hate saying things like this, but I kind of wonder if they need a first round exit to really wake up and to be able to have that built-in reasoning of, okay, maybe it's time for an assistant coach like McCarthy to be let go / let him retire. Or maybe it's time to be woken up and say, well, maybe we need to, as crazy as it sounds, maybe we need to change who the captain is. Let's do something different. You know, I hate to say that teams need to lose to learn. When it's a team that's already been to a Stanley Cup final and, you know, had the ability probably last season to do it if it wasn't for just an awful Game 7 performance. But at the same time, like, we can all look at this and see something's broken. I know everybody is still clamoring for it's the coaching, get rid of Laviolette. I don't think this is the situation where you're going to see them get rid of him in the offseason, but if the Predators got off to a terrible start next season, then you could potentially see that. I think this is the exact kind of a case where you see offseason moves like, hey, let's change the captaincy, let's change an assistant coach, that kind of a thing. And then if it doesn't start working out quickly next year, then we make massive changes. But you know, it's crazy because I think we all forget just how good this team looked in October. And I wish I was a fly on the wall, and I wish I could find a way to truly find the answer of what happened come mid-November on that changed what this team was and made them never return to the form of who they were in October, because everybody wants to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning and they had an incredible regular season, but we all forget that in the month of October, it was the Predators who were number one in the NHL by the end of the month. And they got off to such a good start, and it looked like, yep, they're picking up right where they left off prior seasons. And something changed, and we just can't figure out what it is, where it was. I mean, it could be as simple as they just couldn't find it themselves on the power play, and that just, you know, creeped into the rest of the entire locker room and system and made them all doubt. You don't know. I know it sounds crazy that somebody would say, really, Brandon, you think that one little thing can cause this whole season? But honestly, confidence is such a huge part of professional sports. And when you start questioning each other because of the lack of execution on one particular area, it can honestly impact your entire season. So I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to jump ahead too much because of they could win game six and we could have a game seven to talk about. But at the same time, like you said, you're trying to find the positives, but it doesn't feel great. And, you know, I still think it's one of those situations where we have to talk about the reality, the what if.
Brandon, there's only one thing that if anybody's looking at the stats right now can do for the Nashville Predators. Desperation must be the only word tonight. It's as simple as this. That's it. Five games in the books. If you win a game tonight, you'll play another hockey game. If you lose a game tonight, you won't see each other again, except for packing bags and heading to the airport. It's as simple as that, Brandon. So for the Nashville Predators, five games. It has not been consistent. It has not been optimal. But tonight, game six in Dallas. They would not be the first team to force a game seven by going on the road. They wouldn't even be the first team to do it in the last couple of days. So for this Nashville Predators team, one last chance to skate together tonight in Dallas to make it happen one more time. What do you need to see out of them tonight to find us talking about one more game on Wednesday?
I need to see desire. I need to see passion. I need to see where it's not just the Rocco Grimaldis. It's not just, you know, the Austin Watsons, the Nick Beninos. I need to see every single player is sold out, bought in. It's not just the Ryan Johansson on his line. I need every player to simplify the game and do exactly what they need to do to put pucks on net and create chances and make it where even if you lose, at least you went out with a full effort and one that nobody can question whether or not you had your back to the wall and you fought like your backs were to the wall. And so for me, that's really what it boils down to, because in this particular series, almost every game it looked like Dallas wanted it more. There's only one game in particular that I could think of where it felt like, nope, Nashville wanted that one. And outside of that, it all looks like Dallas has a stronger desire, a stronger work ethic. And so for me, game six, you got to show that you want it and that this isn't just part of your job that you've become accustomed to and you just expect things to happen because you've had success in the past. Go earn it.
Stated perfectly, my friend. I sure hope we're talking about a game seven on Wednesday. The Dallas Stars, their compete level has elevated from game to game, while the Nashville Predators seems to have remained somewhere around a regular season compete level. Tonight, I need the Nashville Predators to somehow jump up about 3-4 levels and show everybody exactly what Brandon just said, that they want it. And if tonight is the last game of the season, at least give us something to remember you by in a positive way. Brandon Felder, I sure hope we're talking again, my friend. Thank you so much for jumping up and being incredibly honest and bringing your keen-eyed analysis to this conversation this morning. Fantastic beginning to the week. I will talk to you again.
All right, Charlie. I hope so, too. Looking forward to seeing what they can bring tonight and if they can find a way to show who they think they really are and prove to us that that is who they really are. Go earn a game seven. Other teams have done it the past couple days, so why not the Preds? But hopefully, even with all of our lack of positivity about this particular game, they can just go out and prove us wrong, like Mastrodamus loves to say, prove him wrong.
Thank you so much, Brandon. I'll be talking to you soon. Outstanding conversation by each and every one of the Renegades of Puck this morning. Mastrodamus in the second period, Felder in the third period. We'll have a Game 7 preview show Wednesday morning live at 5 a.m. right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Of course, if necessary. That can't be determined by me here on a microphone. All I can say about a game six is go out there and skate, boys. skate hard, hit everything that moves, and if it tries to move, hit it a second time. Go to the net hard, score the greasy goal, come back home. Start what could be one of the most incredible weeks in the sports landscape for Middle Tennessee. Game 7 on a Wednesday, the NFL draft Thursday, and then round 2 would be opening up. It'll be fantastic. Get the job done. Predneck Nation Radio, right here, Nashville Sports Radio.